Where do you stand, America? Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. You have Mitt Romney, who is defending, in a sense, something that he said that was secretly taped back in May. So his campaign is doing a little damage control over that secret video. He was scrambling on the road. And on Monday, the latest headache was a video that surfaced showing him talking to wealthy donors in Boca Raton, that almost, in Florida, almost half of all Americans, this is what he said, believe they are victims entitled to extensive government support, and saying that as a candidate for the White House, his job isn't to worry about those people. President Obama's campaign quickly decided to say it was shocking. So they're trying to fuel the fire in that direction. Romney says, listen, I was talking off the cuff. It's a question and answer session. I could have said it more elegantly, but I'm not backing away from what I said. And the numbers, of course, do show that X amount of people are paying, you know, whatever, Zippo in taxes, and that's where we're at when you look at that 47 number. But certainly it was a gaffe. It was a gaffe in the sense that it has all the elements of what people are saying about Romney, who will not vote for him. Oh, he's part of that 1%. What does he know about struggling? How would he possibly know? And here he is saying exactly that he doesn't care about those people. But will it really hurt him in the long run? I think all of us, may I speak for you, are sick of the same old, same old. We're sick of it. You know, you look at the polls, and all the polls are different, but let's take the Reuters poll. Obama leads Romney, but it shrinks to 5%. But so what? Ultimately, in the end, with 49 days to go, what does it mean? What it means is the electoral system, the electoral college, the numbers there are the things that matter the most. Those are the numbers that count, and ultimately those are the numbers that push a president over, or someone who's going to be president over, or push them off of the map. 270 is the magic number. Can Romney clear the decks? Because he'd have to win a lot of big states, swing states, and claim the ones that would already be there for the big R. Now, could there be some more, another fly in the ointment? One could only hope, if I could say it after three cups of coffee, that there might be another alternative. I've talked about third parties the entire time that I've done this show. Tweak things a little bit here and there. Maybe we really get the person we want. So while the president has led Romney in polling throughout the summer, except for a little bit following the Republican convention, and the Electoral College map sets up pretty favorably for Obama, there is still one person who is out there who maybe can make a little noise. Can he win? I don't think so, because not enough people know him. But Gary Johnson is a former governor of New Mexico. I want to make sure I get that right. New Mexico. I used to work in New Mexico. In fact, it was my first job out of school, a place called Albuquerque, New Mexico, and I worked as a television reporter and anchor for KOB. I tell you the story because many of my comrades, many of the people that I worked with there, are still there, and they say great things about Gary Johnson. He's very popular, and he's been consistently popular. He was all the way through as he was a governor. He's probably the most popular governor they ever had, at least in the last 10 years anyway. He first ran in the early 90s, or he ran in 1994 as a Republican. He won. He beat three other Republicans, and then he defeated an incumbent Democratic governor by 10 points. After 4 years, he ran again and won in 1998. 4% or so of registered voters say they vote for Johnson, but and then the fact that he's included in the poll is amazing, but how can he possibly get enough as he zigs and zags across the country to get enough people to put, you know, to write him in, to put him in? And that's the key. He needs to be on the ballot in as many states as possible, and he needs libertarians to support him, so that would mean a lot of the Ron Paul people, if they would throw their weight in his direction, that could certainly, certainly happen. And there haven't been very many third-partiers. Think of one of the more famous third-partiers. You have to go to 1992 and Ross Perot. And it's interesting, if you go back to the debates during the when Ross Perot was in the middle of it, and you look at what he said, man, so much of what he said is in the financial sector has completely come true. He was right. He was ahead of the curve. I want to throw in a couple of quick odds and ends. One, because we've talked about this so much on this show, the bailouts and what are we owed back and all that sort of stuff. Another shocking headline for some people, too tough to swallow, is GM wants the government to sell its shares. The government is resisting the push to sell 26.5. That's the percent their stake in the GM, our stake in GM, I guess, essentially, and recoup $50 billion that it sunk into the company. And there's not a lot of budging there. So is it a smart move? Is it a stupid move? For GM, it's smart, but not so sure about the government. It's definitely smart for GM to do the push. They know what they're doing, and as they're turning the corner, they want to be able to have all of that back in-house, but it's not looking like they're going to get their way at this point. As strife and problems and nastiness rages in the Middle East, there are still questions surrounding what happened in Benghazi and Libya. What happened in that consulate there? Was there a tip? Did somebody lead the Libyans involved through the front door, so to speak? It certainly looks that way to me. And there are different versions of what happened at the embassy floating around. Did demonstrations happen outside the consulate before the attack that killed four Americans? Was this having anything to do with the anti-Islamic film? Well, there were no protests, no attacks. They were not spontaneous. Not spontaneous. Very, very sad, as four Americans were killed in Benghazi, including the ambassador to Libya. They knew he was putting himself in harm's way, but I don't think expected that to happen. Coming up in this hour of America Tonight, a lot of great conversations in store for you, including Archbishop Council Ned II. We've talked to him once before. He's traveled a lot in the Middle East, including to Yemen, and he has some thoughts on the rabid use of twisting religion in the wrong direction. Stay with us. Of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources, September 17th, 2012. Gold opened this morning at $1,769.80. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $1,813.36, $906.68 for a half ounce, or $453.34 for a quarter ounce. That's $1,813.36, $906.68, and $453.34.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? Wait a sec. Gold and silver is going up while Congress is trying to settle on the next debt increase. And there's no end to this madness. That old 401k and IRA can be converted into physical gold without tax consequences. I explained this in my book, 10 Reasons to Buy Gold. Don't let time slip away. Call for your free copy today, 800-686-2237. Get away from that Washington spin and get honest answers about gold. 800-686-2237. The book is free, 800-686-2237.
We've all heard the phrase, don't judge a book by its cover. A wise saying for sure. Now apply that wisdom to nutrition. Don't judge milk by the animal. Camel milk, the best kept health secret ever. See for yourself at camelmilkforsale.com and look for the Summer Camel Milk Special. Loaded with health benefits far superior to other milk, camel milk has antibacterial, antiviral, and anti-tumor properties, is rich in B vitamins, and is 3 times higher in vitamin C than cow's milk, 10 times higher in iron. Plus, it contains 52 units of insulin-like proteins per liter, effectively lowering blood sugar levels. Many of our members testified that drinking camel milk reversed diabetes and greatly improved autism. Camel milk comes fresh or frozen from your trusted local family farm, shipped on dry ice to preserve freshness. Go to camelmilkforsale.com now and look under products and pricing for the summer special with free bonus pints. That's camelmilkforsale.com.
This is like music to the ears of so many of you listening, because we have been beating up on the Fed, I think, since I first started doing America Tonight. Now, the latest thing is what happened just last week, Ben Bernanke talking about the Federal Reserve buying large quantities of mortgage bonds until the so-called job market improves substantially. I say so-called job market because it depends on who you talk to, right? We want to see a thriving job market. We've had him on before. He's terrific marketplace consultant Leo Haviland, author of Words on the Street, Language and the American Dream on Wall Street. Leo, thanks for coming back on America Tonight.
Kate, thanks very much for having me on your great show.
So your initial reaction when you heard what Bernanke had to say last week about what the Fed was going to do?
Two reactions. First, it's a sign of how desperate they are to maintain economic growth in general and how worried they are about the weak labor market and unemployment. Second, the extent to which they're willing to keep money printing as a means of maintaining economic growth, and also, I suppose, to buy some time for our friends in Washington to try to come up with some sort of fiscal solution.
Yeah, buy some time. That could be a long time that they're going to need there, Leo. And so people hearing this are saying to themselves, okay, so how does that turn, you know, how does one plus one plus another one change this whole thing up and we get the right arithmetic here? How does buying mortgage bonds prop up the economy?
If you could explain that to me, Kate, I'd really appreciate it. I use the viewpoint of Monopoly, the game.
Uh-huh.
If you print a whole lot of $1,000 bills, that may make everybody happy and confident for a while, so maybe they'll spend more. And, you know, that sort of spending makes GDP go up, but does it really fix anything? And I don't think so. So the Fed is really trying to sell us confidence and faith that they have some plan that will work over time.
Yeah, and I like how your analogy of Monopoly money, I've used the same thing. We're just printing crazy amounts of money. At some point, we got to pay the piper, and the people who pay are all of us. And then the other question is, and Bernanke talked about this, talked about the job market, and what is this a benefit truly to the job market, or not? How is it a benefit?
If this spending spree or money printing spree indeed can temporarily help to induce hiring, because people feel good or because corporate earnings in nominal terms tend to go up to induce hiring, then that may temporarily help the unemployment rate to fall a bit. And it looks like the Fed is targeting around 6% by sometime in 2014-2015. So I don't see how they're readily going to accomplish it. And, Kate, one thing they don't say with this money printing extravaganza is the consequences of keeping their interest rates so low. Because what's hidden here is their policy of favoring debtors and borrowers at the expense of creditors and savers. That's something the Fed isn't saying.
Right, so it's almost better. It's like that thing of, and Leo, I'm sure, obviously, you're aware of that. It seems like the deeper in debt you are, the more credit card offers that you seem to get. Everybody wants you when you're in debt, and it's quite the opposite when you're paying in cash and you don't have a lot of credit out there. So that goes certainly to your theory. And what does that ultimately say for us as our economy? I mean, that's a house of cards, isn't it?
You raise an excellent point, Kate. The Fed has implicitly said that they know more about where interest rates and stable prices should be for the economy than the marketplace itself does. They also say they know what maximum employment should be better than the marketplace knows. And they also claim they know what the economy's long-run productive potential is better than others. They're like a fourth branch of government. And no checks or balances on them.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. No checks or balances, and that's what's just so crazy. That has to change, I would think, or we're just going down a one-way street. Speaking of one-way street, you certainly, as somebody who spent 30-plus years, when we talk about the financial industry, Wall Street, we talk a lot about the street on the show, and you saw that Apple shares were through the roof with their new iPhone 5, and it's been an interesting, actually, month, I think, as far as the street is concerned. But people are worried, Leo. They're not sure about whether or not do we keep some money in, do we diversify, what do we do? What ultimately, with all of this going on, happens to Wall Street? What happens to Wall Street?
Wall Street hopes that the stock marketplace keeps going up, because the more people who have faith that stocks go up, the more people are inclined to cart their money to Wall Street.
Yeah.
However, as you're pointing out, Kate, quite rightly, consumer confidence, despite the rising stock marketplace, is low.
Yeah, and you have to have consumer confidence. They have to do whatever they can. That's the idea, right? But, like, this goes back to the beginning of what we were talking about. If you pump up the money, people spend, keep the confidence, keep people thinking things are going okay. But the reality is what's happening in a lot of neighborhoods and what's happening to some people in the middle class is stringing jobs together. They're afraid and they want to save. So I don't know if that spending theory is really going to pan out. What do you think?
I don't see how it can in this country easily, Kate, because over the past 20-some years, from, say, the mid-70s and certainly the mid-80s, the national indebtedness has increased from, say, around 160% of nominal GDP to 380% of GDP, and that includes the government, in 2009, and it's still around 350% now. So we really need, as a nation, over the long run, to save rather than spend, and the Fed's trying to encourage spending.
Yeah, absolutely. So here's the big question, and one that we've talked about a lot here on the show. The Fed in general, you saw Ron Paul when he was running, but he's, as a congressman, he's talked about this a lot, that, boom, we got to do something about the Federal Reserve. What do you say now where we see we are with the Federal Reserve? What do you think needs to happen to that organization?
They clearly should be a guardian of the banking system and liquidity, and be prepared to aid that in the case of an emergency.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't see why they should be engaged in handling matters of employment and inflation targeting and deciding what the productive potential of the economy is. Admittedly, they have the right to do that under their legislative mandate.
Sure.
But, you know, in the if I were king situation, or if I were Congress, so to speak, I would take a lot of that back from the Fed. After all, we're a representative government, right? And why shouldn't our representatives and the marketplace be answering these questions rather than an organization which is really subject to no significant checks other than their members may not be reappointed?
Yeah. And we see ultimately, I agree with you 100%. The other thing that we see, of course, in an election year, it's always discussed, where are we? And, you know, that big question, are you better off than you were 4 years ago and that kind of stuff. But the scary thing is watching what's going on with the EU, the whole thing with Greece and Italy and Ireland. You know, it's not just Greece and the bailouts there. As somebody who's been in this game for a long time and watched the ups and downs of the economy, how close are we to flying off a different kind of fiscal cliff?
You ask an excellent question. We've got a dilemma here that if we permit the economy to slow down, then that means higher unemployment and arguably more social unrest, which, you know, is something, of course, the Europeans have been worried about. On the other hand, if the printing money is the solution, that risks eventually, at some point, a notable increase in inflation. And remember, we're already so indebted with foreigners owning an awful lot of our treasury and other obligations that if they don't want to keep holding them, especially if we're holding interest rates via the Fed close to zero,
oh, yeah.
There could be weak dollar, higher rates, which has not been the pattern, together. And that would risk the economy, as you're pointing out so wisely, falling off another cliff.
I hope that we're going to get beyond that for sure. Leo, always a pleasure to have you on the show. Pick up his book, Words on the Street, Language and the American Dream on Wall Street. We'll talk.
The summer specials are on at HHA, Herbal Healer Academy. Current customers know this is the time to save big at herbalhealer.com. And new customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Right now, Herbal Healer's summer specials include our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Liquid CalMag Vitamin D and Organic Iodine, CoQ10 with Hawthorn, Colon Enhancer, Super 2, Natural Laxative, our exceptional product Tonixin, Memory Power, and Super Male and Femplex, all on sale for summer at herbalhealer.com. Also get 10% off on the Herbal Healer Academy Survival Course. Information that might save your life. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on to our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988. Herbal Healer Academy at herbalhealer.com.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include micro plant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock, save you money, and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Every day, nearly 3,000 families enter into foreclosure and face losing their home. If you're currently behind on your mortgage, you can still avoid foreclosure. You can save your home, but you need to act now. We're Allied State Foreclosure Services. We're experts in saving homes from foreclosure. With just one phone call to us, you can stop the foreclosure process, lower your monthly mortgage payments, and save your home. Call now. The call is free with no obligation. 1-800-597-8843. Call us if you've been threatened with foreclosure, denied loan modification, or missed a payment on your mortgage. If you've been a victim of a predatory loan or are upside down on your mortgage, even if you've lost your job and you're worried about losing your home, don't wait. Call us now and let us help you save your home. You've worked hard to build a life with your family. Let us help you keep your home. Call now before it's too late. 1-800-597-8843. 1-800-597-8843. 1-800-597-8843.
Since 1974, Evelyn Gibson has helped thousands of people live healthier, happier, and more productive lives. Gibsonshealth.com demonstrates, educates, and inspires customers to replace their healthy erosive lifestyles with a health-enhancing one. Now, Gibsonshealth.com is pleased to offer AIM Ready Beats Pure Juice Powder. Beet juice has long been known as a blood purifier and builder of red blood cells. The American Heart Association says 1 in 3 adults has high blood pressure and hypertension. Researchers found that a daily glass of beet juice beats high blood pressure. And not only that, just a teaspoon or two a day of Ready Beets powder increased stamina by 16%. Certainly, drinking beet juice daily is a better solution than most meds with their side effects. Order your fresh, convenient form juice powder of this amazing vegetable called Ready Beets from GibsonsHealth.com. To buy at wholesale prices, call 800-388-6844 or go to GibsonsHealth.com. Gibson's Healthful Living. Since 1974, over 30,000 healthier customers.
America Tonight. Always a pleasure to have Project 21 member Archbishop Council Ned II. He's traveled extensively through the Middle East and the Arabian Gulf, so he's great to have on the show to get his thoughts on the things that we see happening, because he certainly has seen them when he was there overseeing the creation of a new parish. Archbishop, thanks for coming on. I didn't realize that you did that in your background. You've done so many other things. I guess I shouldn't be surprised. But, you know, the Middle East now is such a touchy subject, obviously, because we see the attacks, the murder of our ambassador in Libya. When you see that unfold, what ultimately, I guess, when you first heard about that, what comes to mind to you when you hear the details of what happened to the ambassador and the three other Americans who were killed, and then the thing in Egypt, taking the flags and the burning of the flags and whatnot, and all of the conversation about the Arab Spring? What do you think?
Well, when I first saw it, like everyone else, I was sort of shocked. I mean, I sort of watched this story unfold in dribs and drabs, and, you know, I thought, well, maybe this will go away. This is just a little blip, but it didn't go away. One of the things that sort of comes to mind, sort of the first thing that comes to mind is, you know, what could drive a group of people to undertake these sorts of actions? You know, protesting in front of the embassy is one thing, but then taking it to the next level where you're actually trying to burn the embassy and people get killed, It's a frightening thing. It's a frightening thing to watch. And, you know, the way people justify these acts is they say that, well, you offended our religion. And, you know, what I would say to everybody is that, you know, the one true God does not need mankind to seek justice on his behalf. God doesn't need our help. We need God's help. And if you think you're doing this to please your God, we're clearly not worshiping the same God.
Yeah, and you really can be, I mean, you have a gift, from what I understand, you have a gift for languages and certainly in spreading the word, talking to people and whatnot. You also have an approachability without a doubt that you can have so many people be very honest with you. And when you've been in these situations, like, for example, as you've traveled, and we have this, we talk about the Muslim culture, the versus Christianity, and the faith that goes back for thousands of years, and then the Prophet right. Muhammad and whatnot. As you sort that out from us, I guess sort of from a religious perspective, what sense do you get of the Middle East now at this point?
Well, again, it's concerning to me. As an American, it's very, there's a huge striking difference between Christianity as we see it practiced in America and in the West versus Christianity as we see it practiced in the East. There's a different level of commitment on the part of Christians in the East because they face persecution on a regular basis. So there's lots of things that Americans take for granted. Being able to sort of skirt through different cultures and different nations and not have people immediately assume that I'm American affords me an opportunity to have conversations that I wouldn't normally have with people. You know, as a black American, you know, a lot of people in the Arab world or in other parts of the world, they don't see a lot of black Americans. So often people assume I'm South African or from some place other than America.
Yeah.
And so they open up to me in a way that they probably don't. Well, they open up to me in a way I know they don't open up to other people. And then the question then is, how am I going to respond when they say something that's offensive to me? So, you know, I can respond in some sort of vitriolic fashion or with violence or something, or I can listen to what they have to say and then approach them about it and talk to them about the way they talked about these things and sort of work through these issues together. And you get so much more understanding that way. If you're upset because somebody offended your God, attacking them with violence isn't necessarily the best way to win converts.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. I agree. Yeah, and even in breaking it down, talking about Libya versus Egypt versus something we've talked to terrorism experts a lot about, because Yemen is now the hotbed of so many of the Islamic terrorists, if you will. And it's different in that country, isn't it? They have a much more deep seated, as you talked about, hatred of the Western world and Americans in general. Is that what you think? Is that what you encountered?
Well, yeah, that's certainly what I've noticed. Because, well, for instance, you know, I have a lot of friends in Egypt, and they'll be quick to tell you that they love Americans, they hate American foreign policy. They're able to make the separation between the individual standing in front of them and what decisions governments and people in power make. You know, the situation in Libya that we saw unfold in Libya, where our ambassador, unfortunately, was killed, you know, the way, as the investigation has continued into this, it appears that, you know, these were supporters of Gaddafi who were probably behind these particular individual attacks. Two very different motives for essentially the exact same action. People attacking an embassy. The situation in Yemen, I've had an opportunity to meet several people from Yemen when I was in the Gulf, when I was in the United Arab Emirates. And the moment people found out, the Yemenis found out that I was American, they really didn't want to be involved in a conversation with me, even if they were introduced. Even if I was introduced to them by someone from Oman or from the Emirates, they just have a vitriolic. And again, I'm speaking in broad terms.
Right.
I'm sure there's some people that like Americans or wouldn't be offended by my mere presence, but I certainly don't get the same reception from Yemenis that I've gotten from people in Egypt or Syria or from other countries in the Gulf.
Yeah. When it's very, very extreme, is there a way to turn that around? I mean, you look at religion from a religious perspective. Is there a way to coexist, turn around some of the fanaticism, or am I just barking up the wrong tree?
Well, I don't think you're barking up the wrong tree because, you know, if the people who are doing these extreme acts, if they actually spent time reading the scriptures and reading and inwardly digesting what they say, they would know that these aren't proper actions. They would know that God doesn't need our help. I think people just sort of get caught up. You know, it's just a mob mentality. Somebody incites something and a lot of people follow without really sort of thinking or looking past the surface level of what's going on. But, you know, the Abrahamic faiths, the stuff that you're seeing going on right now, there's really no theological justification for it. And to say that there's a theological justification for it is just simply a lie.
Yeah, wow. As somebody that I started the interview with, Archbishop, and said that you certainly, and you mentioned this, have been to the Middle East, know a lot about the Middle East from a lot of different points of view, including you have friends in Egypt and whatnot. We come back to the same thing as you hear what's happening, and every day the situation is fluid and changes, and we don't know ultimately governments that are going to be installed. And you think of how big the Middle East is and the position of Israel and what's going to happen in Iran. How worrisome is this in general to the world, to looking at the world and what would happen ultimately with the so-called Arab Spring? It seems like all of that has gone in reverse.
I think a lot of people in power, not just in the United States, but in the individual countries, are going to have decisions to make. I believe that every country has a right to self-determination, to figure out which path they want to take and how they're going to get there. But then the next step is, if a country decides, well, we want to have an Islamist state, then the U.S. is perfectly right to reassess the relationship with this country. They could be a traditional ally of our country, but if they decide, you know what, we're going to go off on our own course and their interests aren't the same as ours, then we need to reassess our relationship. You know, this isn't going to get easier. It's only going to get harder, in all honesty. And, you know, the playbook's changing completely from day to day.
Yeah, boy, no kidding. And I think some of the what's going to happen in the future, you know, we have to keep a close eye, obviously, because when we look at even Afghanistan and the troops withdrawing in 2014, then ultimately what happens after that, and of course what we see on a worldwide stage. I think the saddest part of all of this, though, Archbishop, and you would agree, is certainly the Americans, the ambassador, and the others who were there trying to help the people and in Libya, and ultimately they were victims of that terrible attack. That's just, I think that's the worst. And the only thing that you can look at is maybe it blows the lid off of some things that are bubbling up underneath that may be contained, I guess.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. I mean, that clearly is a tragedy here.
Mm.
Because, you know, one of the things that people have said repeatedly is that they view our ambassador there as a hero of the Libyan revolution.
Yeah.
And, you know, he gets killed in an act of senseless violence. And sort of one of the more touching things that I sort of saw out of this is, you know, various interviews and conversations with Libyans saying, this isn't who we are. This is just a small group of people that did this horrible act. And they don't want to be associated with it. You know, there's going to be innocents sort of caught up on all sides in this thing. And I hate to say this, but I think the situation is going to get a lot worse before it gets better.
Yeah, I agree with you. Archbishop Council Ned II, always fun to get you on the show, even trying circumstances. I do enjoy your point of view and letting the listeners hear from you. Thanks for coming on.
Oh, sure, it's always great coming on your show.
How's your pH today? Are you acidic? How alkaline is your blood and body? What is the pH of the water you drink? We are AlkaVision, and we have the answers. Drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining vibrant health and high energy, because bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline, high pH environment. If your drinking water isn't at a pH level of 8 or higher, boost it with AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Our unique formula will alkalize your water, ridding your body of harmful toxins and acid, and help regain energy and health. Simply add 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops to help your body rid itself of acidic waste, increase oxygen, and raise the pH of your body to optimal levels. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, spelled AlkaVision.com, or call 800-518-7615, 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body, supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, thanks to Dan Pilla, you can get the tax help you need to end your tax nightmare.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce or eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. With the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
Prices are for base buildings only and may not be available in some areas. This is an alert. If your business or church is building next year, you're about to pay more than you should. This could mean thousands of dollars more for your office, retail space, church, or warehouse. Call General Steel now for the quality and the price in a pre-engineered steel building that you just can't beat. That's right. General Steel can save you thousands of dollars with a pre-engineered steel building designed for your business or church. What does this mean? How about a 50 by 100 foot building for under $30,000? Don't pay thousands more than you should without calling General Steel first. Call 866-99-STEEL today and save as much as half the cost and time of conventional construction. Don't let rising steel prices put your project in jeopardy. Call now to lock in your price for 3 months. Call 866-99-STEEL. That's 866-997-8335. Don't spend thousands of dollars more than you should. Call 866-99-STEEL today.
America with the snail mail. Man, this may be the biggest day of mail that I have ever gotten in a short time period. The story that broke about Mitt Romney really, really ruffled a few feathers in this audience. So, without further ado, let's head to the mail room.
You have mail, mistress.
Ah, thank you. Joe in Vermont, that's where we start. Joe says, Kate, no. Boy, oh boy. Mitt Romney being taped. What kind of scumbag, oh, there's that word, tapes Romney at a private fundraiser? Are there no sacred cows? Secretly recording him, you know, it's just some crazy journalist who got in there, some leftists, and taped him and waited for the right time to release the tape. Oh, I'd love to know who released the tape, just out of curiosity. I don't know that it was some journalist, someone with an axe to grind. Who knows? But here's the thing. I think he was saying what he was thinking without a doubt. He was saying that people have to take responsibility for their life, and we're not about helping people take... We're about, you know, helping people take more responsibility and becoming employed, not having them on the dole, pretty much. He was in Costa Mesa, California, Romney was, and he stopped and he talked about the comments. I mean, they must have a hotline that they just call up, like Romney, and say, okay, here we go. We got to strategize right now because the reporters are going to start asking you this question. They're going to ask you about this private fundraiser in Boca Raton and whether or not you believe what you said when you told the audience that people who believe they're entitled to health care, to food, to housing, that it's an entitlement program, blah, 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 blah. And the rest is history. The barn door is way open. But I think he was just being himself. I think he's being real this time around. Absolutely. He's being real in answering the questions. However, does it answer your questions to whether or not he should be the guy? So we move from Joe in Vermont to Hazel. Boy, that's a new one. Hazel in Florida. Hazel says, boy, Romney really threw himself in the shark tank, Kate, when he stuck up for the richest of the rich. I actually was thinking of voting for him now. No way can I. I'm not one of the 47 he was referring to, but I know people who have gotten into trouble and from time to time have had to be in that situation for a small window until they found something else that they could do once their job had stopped. Whose fault is that? Yeah, I think it's going to be a split deal here. Dano, America Tonight, you rock. Mitt Romney does not. He can shove it up you know where with his comments about the 47% of the people. Let me tell you, I worked my entire life for one company, a trucking company that'll go unnamed. They unceremoniously dumped me and pretty much everyone else. I could not find another job. I could not find another job, and I paid into the government my entire life. So I'm not entitled to anything. Give me a break with your numbers, Romney. Maybe Bill Clinton was right. The arithmetic just doesn't add up. Ooh, not happy. Here's one from Romneyite, who says, as you can tell by my nickname, I really like Mitt Romney. Kate, I understand why people are bagging on him. Oh, I'm sorry, he has five kids, is true to his wife, who, by the way, suffered through two diseases, and supports his family. What's wrong with that? Isn't that the American dream a lot of people would salivate over? They would give almost an arm for? I think people need to take a look at Mitt and look much harder than they have been. A lot of people thrown in here. All right, to be sure there weren't most of the mail centered around Romney and the comments, but not all of the mail was about that. Some of it was about a few other things, including this one from Reed, who says, hello, Ms. Delaney. I've been listening to the show for a couple of months, and I have to say that I enjoy all the information. Sometimes the points of view and the people who call crack me up. The situation with Romney shows his true colors. I don't really hate Romney, but I don't really like him either. He's okay. So we're going to trade a good president for an okay president? I don't think so. I don't think so. Wow, so really mixed group here. A mixed group. You can throw in your 2 cents, too, on this, by the way. 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283. 5283. talking a little Mitt Romney with some egg on his face today, and he would be the first to say that he wished he hadn't said it that way and could take it back. But how much does it hurt him in the election? Really? Come on, people. What do you think? How much do you think? Handicap it for me. How much do you think this hurts Mitt Romney? Wrong show. I think it hurts him only as much as he thinks it hurts him. I believe there will be some discussion on it. And if this had happened a couple of days before Election Day, maybe it'll be a little more weary. But I think a lot of minds are made up. And it's just a formality or a symbolic thing now for some people. But swing states supposedly are in play. Supposedly. This one from Munster Mash, who says, "Yo, Delaney, what's going on with these college campuses? Yet another one with a bomb threat. How many does that make? How crazy is this? Don't they realize what they're doing, scaring the bejesus out of these poor kids at school?" Yeah, here we go again. You had this happen in Texas. You had it happen, in New Jersey. They have another one. We had thousands of students, professors, all that from LSU's big, from Louisiana State. They had to clear out, and they were sending text messages all over the place. And it was posted on the campus websites, and a bomb threat's been reported, all that stuff, and to quickly get out. I mean, the good news is it's kind of like a fire drill. The bad news is it disrupts the day, and it scares everybody. So what is going on? That is it just a random deal here that bomb threats are being called in, or is there something more to this? LSU is big, 30,000 students. So you had University of Texas in Austin. There was something in New Jersey. I want to say it was at Rutgers. You have North Dakota State in Fargo, and UT in Texas and North Dakota, they got those threats on Friday. So here's Monday. They didn't find anything at any of the universities, but how could you not take it seriously at this point? It would be too risky not to take it seriously and could endanger just way too many lives. If I'm running a school, whether I like it or not, I can't take the chance that it isn't real and I haven't done anything. Of course, you have to let it spread and talk to people. And oh, by the way, here's one from Lee who says, "Kate, notice that the Chicago teacher strike has not ended." Boy, a lot of people prematurely called it the end to the strike. I noticed that you hadn't done that. One of your guests did, but he was wrong, and he was in Illinois. He's not the only one. Everybody got it wrong. The teachers so far are not approving the union contract. More bloatovators running around making a lot of money, and who pays the price? Remember,
boy,
you can always...
That escalated quickly. I mean, that really got out of hand fast.
This constant bickering is going to put me in a coma.
Can heart and body extract help with other ailments besides heart conditions, high blood pressure, clogged arteries, or unbalanced cholesterol? It did for Karen.
I've been using heart and body extract for approximately 2 weeks. I've had an earwax buildup problem for many years, with over-the-counter stuff not working at all. I had very poor hearing due to this earwax buildup. Well, after 2 weeks of taking heart and body extract, my earwax buildup almost completely cleared up. Could this be the effect of better body circulation?
Heart and Body Extract is an effective 100% organic nutritional supplement specially formulated to allow your body to heal itself.
My hearing is almost completely back to normal. I'm amazed.
Order by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for long and healthy life.